he does in your family, what he does in your business, what he does in your study, what he does right across your life. We've actually got to have, I like what Sam was talking about, the why behind the what. That we actually have to have a reason for what we do. And that's why we talk about vision. Because it's important that we can see where we're going. We can actually see what we're moving into. And I like what Sam said, the verse in Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, people perish. And another version says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Or yet another version says, where there is no word from God, people are uncontrolled. Where there is no word from God, people are uncontrolled. You see, when people are not guided by godly revelation or anything like that, they actually cast off, if you like, they throw away moral restraints. And that means you can go through history and you can look time and time again at some of the great civilizations that we've seen. When there is no revelation from God, when there is not an understanding of God leading people somewhere, a moral decay actually starts to go on and eventually a society collapses. And I want to say that really strongly, that in our society, if we're going to see our society flourish, if we're going to see our society go forward, if we're going to see this city go forward, we've got to have godly revelation. It's not just about having a vision statement. It's not just about writing a few things down about your life. It's about having a godly revelation. It's about prophetic revelation into your life so that it actually lifts you out of where you are and you start to project forward and you start to go somewhere. If I had nothing to live for, why on earth would I want to live good and right and morally? I would only just live for myself. But you see, God has done something inside me, just like he's done something inside many of you. And I've got something much bigger than me. I've got something much bigger than anything that I've ever been involved in to live for. You see, a revelation, a prophetic revelation from God will change everything. If you want to be alive, if you want to be filled with hope, you need a word from God. Genesis 1 says this right back at the beginning of the Bible. This is God lays out a pattern right at the start of the Bible. And he says in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, the earth was formless and empty and darkness covered the deep waters and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Listen to this. Then God said, let there be light, and there was. You see, the world as we know it was empty. It was without form. It was perhaps in chaos. There was stuff, you know, it might have been, I don't know how you imagine creation happening, but it said, you know, there were waters and perhaps they were bubbling away and there was no form. And it says, the interesting thing is the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And I want to say to you something, at the start of this year, you might be projecting forward and you might be thinking, my life feels like a little bit of a mess at the moment. My life feels like things are not making sense. My life feels like there's a whole lot of things that don't quite line up. I want to say to you this morning that just be open. The Spirit of God is hovering over your situation. The Spirit of God is hovering. You know, everything just about starts in chaos. And creation started, if you like, in chaos. And when there might be chaos, there might be things in your life that are not making sense. The Spirit of God is there. One word. One word from God can change everything. One word from God can actually change your marriage. One word from God can change your family. One word from God can change your business. One word from God can change your study. One word from God can change anything that you're involved in. When you get a prophetic revelation of God and who He is and where He's taking us, it changes everything. And I love that. God speaks to us. I know that God continues to speak. It didn't just happen in the Old Testament. It didn't just happen in the Bible times. God continues to speak. He speaks through His Word. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God continues to speak. Did you know you can pick up the Word of God and you can read the same verse every day of the week, and the Spirit of God can actually give you something new out of that verse every single day, because the Word of God is alive. It is the living, breathing, Word of God. It's absolutely alive. God speaks to us prophetically. He speaks to us through a still, small voice. In other words, He whispers things into our spirit. Listen to what the Bible says. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. God speaks to us in dreams. God speaks to us in visions. And if we're able to go where God is calling us, we've actually got to be able to see where He's taking us. And this year, God doesn't only speak this year. God has spoken every year that I've actually opened my mind and opened my spirit to God. But this year, God has been speaking to me, and He's been speaking to us as a leadership of our church about the fact that we need to be a confident church, that we need to live a confident year. And I'm not talking about a confidence like you need more self-confidence. I am talking about the fact that you can be confident in God. You can be confident in the fact that you're called. You can be confident in the fact that you've been set free. You can be confident in what God has done in your world. You can be absolutely confident in what God is doing. Ephesians 3:12 says this. It says, "In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." This year, I'm believing for a confident year. Mel's believing to get married. I'm believing for a confident year. Whatever you're believing in, God wants to be part of that. Whatever you're believing for this year, God wants you to take that on confidently. Mel, look for a husband confidently. Sorry, Mel. We love Mel. She's one of my favourite people. Hebrews 10:35 says, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward." This year, we're not going to throw away our confidence. Because the Bible actually is really clear. It says that when you come into the kingdom of God, that you're given a supernatural confidence, and we've got an inclination as people to actually throw it away. Have you ever been doing something really confidently and then all of a sudden, bang, the confidence goes like that? And people have talked about falling off their bike, falling off skateboards, falling off water skis, falling off snowboards, whatever it is, that confidence can just be gone like that. You can have it and then it can be gone. And you know there is an enemy around, and we don't need to be scared of him in the slightest, but he actually wants to sap out your godly confidence. He wants to take that right away from you so that confidence starts to leave you, and then next thing you find yourself not being able to live the way that God has called you to live. And we as a church, we as kingdom people, we need to take that back, and we need to say we are going to be confident because we know what God has been saying to us. We know the fact that God speaks prophetically into our lives. We can actually, even if you're not at the moment hearing the Word of God, if you pick up the Bible, if you open that up, you will start to hear the prophetic Word of God for your life, and we need that in our lives if we're going to live a confident year. Why don't you, before I go on, we've got these brochures here that Sam talked about, and there's two here, and one of them has got a lot of words, and one of them has got a lot of pictures. And this morning, because I only went to grade 5 in school, because of that, I'm going to focus on the one that has got lots and lots of pictures, and... But before I do, just to prove that I did actually finish high school, I want to just draw your attention to some of the things about the words. And if you look at this one, our church, and it talks about our church. And the thing about a church is it's not my church. It's not like as Dave and Alex's pastors. It's not just David and Alex's church. It is ultimately the Church of Jesus Christ, but it is our church. It is something that we own together. It's something that we do together. It's something that is much greater because we're all part of it and we're part of that together. So in here you'll see all sorts of things, and in other years on Vision Sunday I've talked at length about some of these things, and I'm not going to do that this morning, but I just want to draw your attention to some of the things that you can look at. You can read in there about our cause. In other words, why? That Sam was talking about this morning. Why do we come to church? Why do we meet together? Why do we do some of the things we do? I'll tell you why we do it, because we've got a cause. We've got the cause of Jesus Christ that actually underpins everything else that we do. You can look in there, you can read about our vision. And you know, we see a church that is real, welcoming, and life-changing. And there's another whole paragraph that goes on about the church that we see and the church that Jesus is actually molding us into. You can read about that and find out about that in there. You can read about our values. basically, everything that is written down is underpinned by the values, the things that we value, the things that we think are priorities above everything else. And then you'll see our strategy, and our strategy can really be summed up in three words or four words: connect, empower, serve, send. In other words, we want to see people connected with God and each other, and through the Holy Spirit, we want to empower people. You see, I don't want you to just come and sit in church and walk out of this place and think, oh, well, that was a nice service, or maybe that didn't quite hit the mark, or whatever happens. I want you to be empowered. We as a church want you to be empowered. We want you to be empowered to make a difference in this city. We want you to be empowered to make a difference in your community. And we choose to serve our God, our church, and our community. And we want you to know that you are sent. You are sent to make a difference. You are sent to make a difference locally here. Some people are actually sent to all parts of the globe. But you are actually called and you are sent to make a difference. And we've got to realize that Jesus actually sent us. When he finished with his disciples, if you like, when he went back to heaven, we know he didn't actually finish with them. But when that season drew to a close, he very, very clearly sent them. He said, go from here. He said, go out and preach the gospel. He said, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. In other words, don't stay where you are. Don't stay in one place. Actually, take the message. Take this revelation you've got to wherever I am sending you. And for some of us, that will be your family. For some of us, that will be the city of Hobart. For some of us, it will be your workplace. For some of us, it will be other places across this nation. And some of you, it will be across the globe. But we've got to know that we are sent to make disciples. As a church, we are a disciple-making church. All this stuff's also on the website too. So make sure you check our website out. If you want to know anything at all, maybe you can't find one of these books and you're thinking, hey, I just want to know something about our values, you can go in there and you can find all that stuff in there on the website. So make sure you check that out. This year also, you'll probably notice that last year, we bi-monthly or sometimes monthly, we actually put a booklet a little bit like this out, and it said all the stuff that was happening in the church and a whole lot of stuff like that. And we're becoming good environmental citizens. So this year, we're not going to do the monthly newsletters. You have a vision where God is calling us to go as a year. There will be other things that come out. But church news and all that stuff will be available, as it has been, on the website. So make sure you use that, and you can feel really warm and fuzzy about the fact that you're not chopping down another tree. So I've got to be careful here, Jen. I have got my brother here who's worked in the forestry industry, so we've got to balance all these things up. A confident church can take on these issues. A confident church is not scared of greenies, but we love them. We are called to be a confident church. I love this verse here out of Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And it's from the Message Bible. And if you want to know something about the purpose of our church, the purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ, this verse just sums it up. It says, the church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts and by which he fills everything with his presence. And you've probably heard me say before that the church is not some sort of appendage that sort of hangs out on the edge of society or something that this sort of weird group of people that sort of meet behind closed doors and sort of have secret clubs. It's none of those sort of things. The church is and always was meant to be front and center in our society. The church is actually meant to be in that place. You see, the church is not peripheral to the world. It's not something around the outside. It actually says that the world is peripheral to the church. In other words, everything that you see going on in society is actually on the outside of the purposes of God. You see, the purposes of God are outworked through the church of Jesus Christ, and that is the very center of God's will, that is the very center of His purposes. So that is actually to be in the center, and a lot of the other things that you see happening are actually on the outside. But the problem is, sometimes we actually take a worldview where we look at the church from the outside, and that's how we start to think about it, when we need to be thinking about the church as the center on the inside, and we can go out from there and permeate and influence every single sphere of our society when we make church front and center of what we're called to do. It's important for our city that we have a confident church. Have you ever thought about that? That we're not meant to have an apologetic church in this city. We're not meant to have churches that say, oh gee, we're sorry that we do what we do. We're sorry that, I'm sorry that sometimes the message that we have is a little confronting. I'm sorry that sometimes you are challenged by what you read in the Bible. I'm not talking about being deliberately confrontational, but what I am talking about is being confident in who we are and confident in what God has called us to be. The church was never meant to be apologetic, and it's important for our city that we have a confident church. In Jeremiah, the people of Israel, they were living in exile. And when you read the Old Testament and you read about God's dealing with the people of Israel, what you can take from that is He's actually showing us pictures of how the kingdom of God works and how we as Christian people should live. And these people had lost their home, they'd been kicked out of their own nation, and they were living in a strange place. And I know, as I look across here this morning, we've got lots of people that weren't born here in Australia. We've got lots of people that your culture is actually from some other part of the world, and you've come and you've joined us here, and you've made us so much richer for you being here. But you know that you know what it's like to not be at home. You know what it's like to actually be in some other place where things seem a little bit different. These people were living in that place, and listen to the prophetic vision, the word of God to those people. He said, work for the peace and the prosperity of the city where I've sent you into exile. And then he says, pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. In other words, a confident church is a church that's confident in who it's called to be, but we're confident in influencing our city. That as we pray for the welfare of our city, as we are interested in the well-being of our city, it actually affects our own welfare. That actually it makes sense, doesn't it? That if the city's doing well, we're doing well. But did you know it actually works the other way around? When the church is doing well, the city will do well. In other words, when we are a confident church, we're confident in our calling, we know why we're here, we know what we're called to do, we're actually going to see the city of Hobart continue to prosper because we've got a confident church. And we're going to make sure that we get that in our minds. It's important that we're a confident church. Our city, our nation, and our global community needs a confident church. So what does a confident church look like? What would you say? We've been talking this year about a confident year and a confident church, and all that is being confident in God. So what is a confident church look like? Well, a confident church would have to be full of confident people, wouldn't it? I think that if we're going to do that, we have to have confident people. And in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12, it says, since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. And after this verse, it actually goes on to say that we don't actually have to be like Moses, who put a veil over his face so he could hide what God had actually done in him. Did you know a confident church, a church full of confident people, we actually don't have to put a veil over our face. We don't actually have to hide what God has done in us. You see, what happened in that situation is Moses, this is before the Holy Spirit had been poured out like it is now. This was when the presence of God was a little bit different to the way that we understand it. People were living under the law. They weren't living under grace. And Moses actually went, this is right at the start of the law, Moses actually went up on to the mountain and he spent time in the presence of God, and so powerful was his experience with God that when he came down, his face was actually glowing. It was like one of those sort of illuminated lamp sort of things. What do you call that stuff? I don't know. But you know, when stuff just glows from the inside out, maybe it was like he was radioactive or something like that. And he comes down and his face was absolutely beaming. It was absolutely glowing. And we read that he actually put a veil over his face because people were a little bit freaked out by it. But you know what they were freaked out by? They weren't so much freaked out by the fact that his face was glowing. They were freaked out by the fact that that glow started to fade, that glow started to disappear. And you know, when he first came down from the mountain, it was like, oh, there's our leader. You know, he's been in the presence of God and his face is glowing and he's God's anointed man. But as he got into life, as he started to deal with their complaints, as all that started to go on, it says that the glory of God, in other words, this glow that he had started to subside. So he actually wore a veil so people couldn't actually tell when the presence of God had actually started to almost this tangible presence of God had started to leave him. And you see, we don't live like that. You see, we don't have to go up on a mountain just to spend time in the presence of God. You see, when you come into the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit actually indwells you. It lives inside you. And it's not something that is going to fade. It's not something that is actually just by itself is going to disappear. The presence of God is actually in you, and we can be confident in that. We don't have to have veiled faces. We don't have to think that we've got to cover ourselves up. You see, God gives us supernatural confidence. I think we've got to decide that we're going to lean in to God. Who remembers being at school or sitting next to somebody that you weren't, you know, really that confident with? Does anybody remember that experience? It used to happen to me a lot because at primary school, I used to talk all the time. And when you're supposed to be doing your work, I was talking. And so what the teachers would do is it's probably different now, but when we were at school, mostly in primary school, we sat in rows of desks, and you had your desk, and inside your desk, you used to lift up the lid, and you had, you know, all your stuff, you know, your books and things like that, and your pens, and mine was just always a terrible mess. But that was how I used to sit, and I was in that place, and what happened is, you know, I would talk, and I would do distracting things, and what the teacher would do, and normally I'd be sitting next to one of my friends, and we'd be having a great time. And what the teacher would do is they would come and they would say, they would pick up your desk and say, they would move me. They would pick me up and generally they would go, and this is, remember, I'm in grade 3 or 2 or 4 and, you know, not that confident with some things. And they would actually put you between two girls. That was what always they would do. You know, they would, you know, when I was 13, 15, I thought, yes. But they would put me between two girls nearly every single time. But what happened after a while is they'll move me again because I started, you know, making friends and talking to the girls and distracting them. And so you know, it was bad for their education. So they'd move me somewhere else after that. So I was sort of like a gypsy, used to go all around the classroom. But I can remember that feeling of when you weren't so confident with somebody. And as kids, you know, it's a bit like that. You know, well, we might get girl germs and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, you'd sit there and you know, it wasn't sort of a leaning in sort of environment. Or who remembers at school doing the ballroom dancing stuff, being taught to do that? And when you're first taught to that, and you know, once again, there were some people you might have felt like you'd be like to be really confident with, and others you didn't feel so confident with. So it used to be funny watching grade 7 kids do ballroom dancing. Now, the teachers here probably remember that, but they were sort of dancing like this, so holding out at arm's length, and you know, sort of that sort of thing. You know, because there's not that confidence there that, oh yeah, I can actually lean in, I can push in to this relationship, or I can push into this situation. And there are all sorts of things through life where you feel like that. When sometimes you start a new job and you're there for the first day and you're still getting to know things and you don't feel that confident and you don't feel like you can actually lean in or push into that situation. Did you know what God wants us to do this year in a confident year? He actually wants us to lean into Him. He actually wants us to push into Him. He wants us to not actually be like the grade 7 boy that's sort of dancing with the girl that he doesn't like so much and, you know, like that sort of thing. He actually wants you to be confident in your relationship with Him and actually start to push into Him, start to lean into God. another example of that, who's ridden a motorbike and had a pillion passenger on the back that has got no idea? I remember when we were growing up, we used to go motorbike riding all the time, and I was in a thing called Boys Brigade. Alec, can you throw my water up there, please? We were in a thing called Boys Brigade, and we used to go out motorbike riding, and we had this guy, I mean, every sort of organisation sort of got this guy that was, you know, he had a few challenges in life and was a bit awkward in certain ways, and his name was Alfie. And Alfie used to come to everything. Alfie was there. He was always there. He was Mr. Consistent. And we were always out motorbike riding, and despite some of his challenges, Alfie actually got himself a motorbike, and he actually got himself in the sort of groove with everybody. But I can remember one day that Alfie's motorbike must have broken down. And so I had to take him back, and I had Alfie on the back of my motorbike. And I can remember, and I'm trying to sort of keep up with all the other guys with Alfie on the back. And as you know, the thing about motorbike riding is, particularly as a pillion passenger, is actually stay with the rider, lean in when he leans in, just go with him, but don't try and do your own thing. I can remember going around this corner, and I was leaning into the corner trying to catch up with the other guys, but Alfie was leaning out, like he was leaning out this way, and I can just remember this old bike as I'm trying to go this way. It went, you know, I'm right out on the edge of the road, and I can remember we ran off the road, I think, if I remember, because he was a big boy and he was much heavier than me, and he was leaning out. But sometimes our relationship with God can be a little bit like that. Is that instead of leaning in, you know what the Bible says about a confident relationship with Him? I love the way the Message Bible says. You've probably heard the verse where it says, you know, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what the Message Bible says, and Grant preached a great message about this recently. It says, Jesus says, come away with me and learn the unforced rhythms of life. In other words, to be confident in God, he doesn't want you pushing against Him. And sometimes we feel like we've got to do that, but He just says, hey, chill out a bit and just come with me and start to follow me and start to learn the unforced rhythms of life, and I will show you how to live. And it's just the same. You jump on a motorbike and you want to have you want to enjoy the process, just get in the groove, get in the rhythm, just trust the rider, go with the theme, go with the flow. Apparently Tess, I'm told, is very, very good at that, isn't she, Ed? That she trusts you implicitly and she just goes with the flow. Ed doesn't even know she's on there because she's actually just in the zone and she's going with it. Did you know your relationship with God can be like that? Right. No matter how it's been this year, God wants you to have a confident year. And He just wants you to get in the flow and start to move and start to go with where He's calling you to go. You know what? As a church, I believe that's what we're being called to. We're actually being called to be just to be confident, to get in the slipstream of what God's called us to do, and just allow Him to lead us and allow Him to guide us. And so often in life and church and things, we feel like we've got to fight against this, and this person said that, and all these stuff that goes on. Hey, let's chill out a bit and just get in the groove and be confident in God's called us to be. You know, there's so much stuff that we worry about that just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter one iota. It really, really doesn't. And this year, a confident year, a vision for a confident church, a vision for a confident life is to actually get in the slipstream and go where God's calling you to go. No matter where you are this morning, you know, there'd be people here, you're confident about things. Maybe your business is going gangbusters. Maybe things are happening well. Maybe you're enjoying a season of life with your family and your kids. Maybe others are in a season where you're experiencing extreme challenges in relationships and things like that. I just want to encourage you. So probably you might say it's all very well for you to say, but we all go through stuff. Let's just get in. Let's just get in and be like we're sitting on the back of that bike, and let's get in the slipstream and start to go where God's calling us, and we will be a confident church. You will live a confident life. You will have a confident marriage. Woo! Yep. A confident person would have seen that. Hebrews 10:22 says, "Let us all come forward and draw near." And if we do that, if we lean into God, like I've just been talking about, I believe that we can enjoy confident friendships. So many people actually are looking for friendship, and they're looking for that to happen in a natural way. But if we start to lean into God, some of the outcomes of that are confident friendships. If we lean into God, we can have confident spirituality. Big word, isn't it? Confident spirituality. I love Australia. I love this country that we live in. And we're good at a lot of things. You know, we're good at sport. We've got this sort of very sort of, you know, relaxed, you know, larrikin sort of nature that's something that often defines us as a country. And I love that. But you know what we're not confident at? What we're not good at? This spirituality. You want to change. You want to change the course of conversation. You want to actually stop the conversation in a pub. And you're sitting down there with your mates, and you're having a drink, and you're talking about the footy, and you're hearing about their car, and all this, you're hearing about work, and all the stuff go on. Why don't you look at your mate in the eye and say, "Hey, how's your spirituality?" It'll stop. The subject will change. You might find yourself sitting on your own. You'd be like, I won't go there again. Oh, Alex thinks I'm silly, but I find that VB ad really funny where you know, he says, "By the time you get this letter, I will have crash-tackled you to the ground." We could actually cope with the labradoodle, but when you colour-coded your beer to your outfit, that just crossed the line. That was too much for us. Confident spirituality. I believe... Even though I joke about those things, in our nation, we're not actually confident with our spirituality. And we actually need a confident church. We need people who are confident in their spirituality. We actually need somebody who's confident enough in their spirituality to actually be able to listen to where somebody's coming from and you know, in the right sort of moment to be able to say, "Hey, have you thought that some of this stuff might be spiritual? Have you thought that maybe you can be made whole because you are more than what you just see here?" And everything about life is actually connected to the spiritual in some way or form or other. We don't have to be spooky about that. It's just the way we're made. But we've got to be in contact with who we are spiritually. And a relationship with God, deciding to lean into God, actually gives us a confident spirituality. It's not religion. It's a confident spirituality. And we want to see confident ministry. That's another one of those words, and I don't like using lots of religious words, but you know what ministry just means? To serve. Ministry actually means to serve. So the fact that some would call, you know, they call us pastor, they call us minister, or people talk about a ministry of a church, it's just about serving. Alex and I were in a restaurant the other day, and it was really interesting. We hadn't been to this one before, and I don't think we'll go again, but we went in there and we ordered some stuff, and you know, the girl, the waitress, came over and she, you know, she took our order, and then she goes away, and we're sitting there, and it was Sunday after church, and you know, we're talking about stuff, and she comes back over and says, "Oh, excuse me," and she didn't actually approach us confidently. She comes over quite apologetically. She says, "Oh, excuse me, you know, that dish that you ordered there, ma'am, that dish, we haven't got that. We've run out of that." And Alex looked down the menu and said, "Oh, well, could I have that one?" And then she said, "Oh, actually, we haven't got that one either." And then we'd ordered a drink, and, "Oh, no, actually, we don't have that one either. Maybe, you know this other one is a bit like that. You could have that one instead." And it went on like this. And you know what enables you to have a confident ministry? You know what enables you to be confident about serving? It's actually having something to serve. It is having something to serve. You see, When you've got nothing to serve, that poor girl, it probably wasn't her fault at all, but when she found that she had nothing to serve, it made what she was doing very difficult because she didn't have a lot to offer us. But the beauty is that in the kingdom of God and what God is doing in us and through us, we have got a whole lot to offer. We've got something to serve. We've actually got something that people want. We've got the answers to situations. We've got that not because we're so smart, but we can be confident that in God, that through Him, that we have something to serve. And when you start to lean into God and press into Him, you will find yourself very naturally and easily having something to serve. Someone will start to talk to you and you're able to say, hey, that happened to me once. And you know what? This is what happened. And you know, because you've got something to serve, because God has done something in your life. So let's be confident in our ministry because we've got something to serve. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life abundant. In other words, He's given you life. He wants to give other people life, and it's not just a boring life. It's not a life that you don't have any fun. It's actually a full life. It's an abundant life. It's a life of purpose. It's a life for a purpose, and that is the sort of life that we're called to live. A confident church is a church full of people living an abundant life. And I really want to say, if your life, because sometimes I see this, and stuff does happen to us, in life, and so it happens in the church, it happens out of the church, life does happen to us, and sometimes we don't feel like life is very abundant, but I want to encourage you this year, a confident church, we're going to press into God, together we're going to press into God, no matter what you're going through at the moment. You might be going through the toughest year of your life, you might be having the best year of your life. Let's together press into God, and we're going to find that we have a confidence, and we're able to minister because we've got something to serve. Something that we're passionate about in Energizer Church is actually equipping people for long-term ministry. We don't want people to just go all right for a little while and then fade out and disappear. We actually want people, when this ministry that I'm talking about, being able to serve. You see, serving is part of life. Serving isn't something that you do for a little while. Oh yeah, I'll just come up through the ranks a bit, and then I get to a situation and I'm a bit of a fat cat, and I can sit back and everybody's going to serve me. See, the kingdom of God doesn't get like that. You might actually get to dizzy heights of authority and influence and all sorts of things like that. But why are you put there? Because you're serving. You continue to serve no matter where you are, whether you're actually in church on a weekend, and you come in, you say, hey, I'm going to serve this weekend. I'm actually going to serve coffee. And we've got people in our church that on a weekend are actually here serving coffee and doing things like that. And probably on the through the week, they're making million-dollar decisions, and it's all serving. It's all serving. There is no difference, because the kingdom of God is about serving. The kingdom of God is about making a difference wherever you're called, wherever you find yourself. We've got to be confident that we can serve. We're confident when we're a tradie and we're out there and we're slaving away and we're doing the work. But if we have a kingdom attitude to that and we realize that it's all the kingdom, it's all serving. It doesn't make a difference, you see. God is able to bless wherever you are and whatever you do and wherever you find yourself if we take that attitude that I am building the kingdom and I'm serving God and I'm serving my community, I'm serving my fellow brothers and sisters, I'm serving my church. It is all serving. This year, let's be confident servers. Let's be confident ministers, because we know that we're called to serve wherever that is, whether that's on Sundays in the church, whether that's in a life group, whether that's in youth, whether that's in young adults, whether that's in business, whether that's at home as a mum and you're having your third or fourth baby, whatever it is, we can know that that is part of our ministry, because we're all called to serve. And how's that? Some of the way that that's actually going to happen in Energizer Life Church is the fact that we're going to get together through life groups. We've got Energizer College. This is all about equipping people. Life groups actually is about a whole lot of things, but one of the things we do in life groups is we equip people. You actually come together and you're actually equipped to deal with some of the situations you're doing. You won't get all the answers, but you'll have people that will stand with you, people that will gather around you, people that will pray with you. The Word of God will be open. You will get revelation. We do that in life groups. Energizer College has been a great success here in the church, and we're continuing to look forward to where we're going in the future with that, because we want people to actually know the why behind the what. We actually want you to be able to get into the Word of God and understand how it all fits together. We want you to be able to be equipped for leadership. All the things that can happen. Energizer College is a fantastic way to do that. CareForce Life Keys, we talked about that this morning, has got just a particular, is particularly good at helping people that have been through situations in life that have started to become a big issue, and it is able to unravel some of those things in a very non-confrontational way and in a simple way, and start to actually empower you to live a full and effective life. Things like the Valiant Man is a brilliant course. It helps us understand why men are wired the way we are. If you're a bloke and you're struggling every time that certain things come across the internet or you walk past and you see magazines, you think, gee, I'd love to pick that up, and that stuff starting to consume you, you're no different to any other bloke. Why don't you just look at doing Valiant Man and start to understand the way that you're wired and actually how we deal with some of this stuff? There's all sorts of things that are going to happen this year that help us with that. Sunday services, we are equipped through Sunday services. We make sure that the teaching that we do here, we do our best to make sure that we're giving you something to take away that makes a difference to your life. Christian Essentials, we're going to have more leadership training. I believe that it's important when you add a leader to any organisation, you add influence, you add effectiveness, and you add people. And did you know that I can, over the time that I've been in church here, that they say that a leader will actually connect and bring about 15 people to a church. And often I've seen it. You lose a number of leaders, and you can almost say that our church community almost starts to shrink by that amount. When we add good leaders, we actually grow. Our influence and our confidence actually grows as we add leaders. And leadership isn't this sort of woo thing up there somewhere. Leadership is for everybody. Leadership is for everyone. Jesus said, go and make disciples. In other words, we're all called to lead. So we're going to train leaders. We've got Impact Conference this year. It's going to be in this building right here. And one of the things that we are excited about with Impact Conference is we want as a church to have a lot of ownership. Not only you guys have just been so incredible over the years at the way you've served. That you've been out at the deck, you've been at you've been up at Marilla, you've been all over the place as we have served the Church of Tasmania, as we've served the community and all sorts of things. You guys have absolutely been phenomenal in that, and that's part of who we are, and we're still going to do that. But I want to add some things to Impact Conference this year that is really about equipping you. It's about equipping you to do really well. We might look at being able to add a component to that really helps us understand how to have good marriages and helps you work. And we're thinking about those things at the moment. So that's very exciting. We want to be equipped. We want to be ready for what's coming. We want to be confident in love. John 4:17 says, "And we live in God and our love grows more perfect, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in the world." Isn't that amazing? We live like Jesus here in the world. As a little boy, I didn't get a revelation of that. First revelation I got of God, nobody tried to do this to me, but I just got this terrible fear that I wasn't going to be right. I wasn't going to be ready to meet God, or Jesus might come back and I was going to be left behind. And some of this stuff that went through my mind as a little boy, and that stuff I sure sometimes flows through people's life, where we start to feel that we can't actually confidently approach God because we don't know whether we're going to be right with Him. What's God saying in His Word? He says, "And we live in God and our love grows more perfect, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment." The Bible also says perfect love casts out all fear, because we live like Jesus here in the world. In other words, we don't work in fear. We don't impose fear on other people. We love people, and that takes away fear. We're seeing confident people, confident youth. Grant and Dan and the team are working really hard on that, and we're going to see, I'm just believing that this year we're going to see all sorts of amazing things happen with our young people as we start to put teams together, and as the team also just continue to push into the Derwent Valley. God's just been opening doors up there in an amazing way. So we can expect a fantastic year in youth. So encourage Dan and the guys and Grant and Dan and the team and confident young adults. I've said before, we're a generational church, and every area of our church, we need to be confident in God and confident in who He's called us to be. Confident families. It's amazing, isn't it, how much where we live at the moment that families just seem to be under pressure and under attack from all sorts of ways. You know, there's stuff that perhaps happens. You know, in people have got certain agendas and things that actually want to see the family as we know it probably not function into the future the way that we've been so blessed by it. We've actually got to stand up. We've got to say that families are important. But more than that, as a church, we want you to do well in your family. We want your family. We want your family to be something that you think, I'm part of a family where, yeah, we have our troubles, we have our challenges, but there's a confidence that you're part of a family. There's confidence that you're in that place, and it's the same with being in a church. I want you to be confident that this church and the Church of Jesus Christ is your family, and we want to see confident families, confident marriages. We will look at some things this year as we teach and how we can actually build confident marriages, confident relationships. Life is all about relationships, isn't it? If you're able to relate to people, if you're able to do well with people, it's amazing how life goes for you. But if you really struggle to connect with people, life can be difficult. It's hard at work, it's hard at home, it's hard wherever you are. We need to understand, but the Bible has so much to say about having confident relationships, and we want to see confident relationships built this year. So if the band, you want to join me, please. As I finish, I just want to share with you that as a church, we could do lots and lots of things. There's no shortage of stuff that we could do and good stuff. But as a team, and as we look at the things that we're involved in and what we can do with, you know, the resources that God's blessed us with, we've actually come up with what we call five rocks. And that they're the five sort of key ingredients to what we're involved in as a church. And the first one of those is people. Is the church is all about people. And these are the things that as a leadership team we think about, we focus on, and this is the stuff that I want to know is functioning well in a confident church. So the first thing is people, and we've got, you know, in people we've got all sorts of things that happen. We've got kids and families, Alex and the team doing a great job with kids' church, but we're seeing that develop much further than that we actually want to be able to see families doing well. We actually want to see families being able to be equipped. So in people, kids and families, we love young people. Grant's recently started to oversight youth and young adults, and we love young adults. So just there's all sorts of things that are going to happen there, but pray for that. We're a kingdom church. We're not just interested in what happens here in this building. We're interested in what happens in our city. We're interested in what happens in the state of Tasmania. We're interested in what happens across our nation, and we're interested in what happens across the globe. In other words, what we're called to, it's not that we're so smart, it's bigger than us. It's just that the kingdom is bigger than us. And we've got to be doing that. Things like Church Together that's going to be happening in May this year, the churches of Hobart all coming together and worshipping in one place. We're putting a lot of effort into that. That's part of Kingdom. Impact Conference, like I said, is going to be here in this building. It's about leaders. It's about people from across the state coming together and getting a kingdom vision for a city that is changed by the power of Jesus Christ, to be able to see people confident to build churches and communities and businesses across this state. Services. We get together on Sundays, and we do two services here at Energizer Church. We do this one here, which of course is 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, and then at 4 p.m. on Sunday afternoon, we've got our Derwent Valley service. And as we grow, we can add services and we can look at other things to do there. The next thing that we do is mission. You've actually got to reach out. You've got to be going somewhere. You've got to be making a difference. And church planting is something that is absolutely key to what we believe in. You know, you've seen that we've recently started a service in the Derwent Valley. And for years, through your support, through your belief, we've been planting churches in Nepal. We've been planting churches in Ethiopia. We've been involved in seeing churches planted, not only here in this state, but across the globe. That's all part of mission. You know, we're sponsoring children through the local church. Our Derwent Valley Youth Centre, that reaches out into the community in an amazing way. These are all things that we can actually get involved in. And the last area is discipleship, which to me encompasses everything that we do. And that happens with life groups. It happens through our Sunday services, things like Care Force, Christian Essentials, and ultimately, it happens through you. You know, a discipleship program, I've actually said to our team lots and lots of times, there must be the biggest ever pile of books written on discipleship. And they would fill up containers, and for the most part, people don't read them, and they just sort of sit there, and it's something people subscribe to in thought, but actually seeing it happening. You see, it's not about a program. It's about you having a heart to bring somebody else into your world, bring somebody else into the journey, actually disciple somebody else in Jesus Christ. That is our most effective, if you like, program that we can have, is you actually getting a heart for people as we disciple people. That's what we've got to do when we're a confident church and living a confident year. 2011 is going to be a confident year. 2011, we're going to be a confident church. 2011, we're going to see confident marriages, confident families. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems and challenges in your marriage and in your families, but we can be confident that God is with us in all these situations. Doesn't mean we won't have challenges as a church, but we can be confident that God is with us this year and He's actually taking us somewhere. When we get involved in these kingdom things like Impact Conference, Church Together, doesn't mean that there won't be challenges, but we can be confident that we're called, that God has asked us to do those things, and He is going to do something amazing this year. You can live a confident year, and we're going to have a confident church because it's filled with confident people. Why are we confident? We're confident because God loves us. We're confident because we're called. We're confident because Jesus has actually come into our life and He set us free and He's given us a purpose to live for that is much bigger than ourselves. Why don't you stand? In just a moment, I'm going to close the service. Before I do, can I ask you a real important question? I've talked about confidence in God and the hope that I have in a God who loves me and a God who continues to be with me and a God who's never going to leave me. You know where that starts? It starts actually in a very simple way, but a very difficult way in some ways, because it starts through humility. It starts through us being able to go to God and say, God, I can't live the sort of life that I know I'm created to live without You in my world. And God was so, our Father in heaven was so concerned about that, that He Himself, His very own Son, came and died on a cross. In other words, we were separated from God by rebellion. We were separated from God because we live in an imperfect world and our nature is all wired that way. And that separates us from a perfect God. But that didn't stop His love. His love continued to flow. His love continued to reach out to people. And right here this morning, He's looking down. He's looking across this place, however He's looking. But He's wanting to love people. He's wanting to see you connected with Him. And the humility factor is that we come to Him and say, God, thank You that You sent Your Son to die for me. I know that I can't live that life. I can't be right with You by myself. But this morning I'm going to be humble enough and I'm going to be brave enough and I'm going to make the best decision I could ever make to trust Jesus Christ. To say, Lord Jesus, thank You that You died for me. I want You to come into my heart. I want You to come into my life. I open myself to You. And I make a choice this morning. I choose to follow You. Just before we go, Maybe you've never made that sort of decision. Like I said, it's a really big decision, but it's the best decision you could possibly make. Why don't we just bow our heads, close our eyes just for a moment. Would you like to say, Jesus, come into my world. Jesus, I want to be connected with God. Jesus, I want to understand what it's like to walk in that unforced rhythms of grace. If that's you, why don't you slip your hand up and say, Dave, that's me. I've never said yes to Jesus. I've never acknowledged him. I've never asked him to be part of my life. I've never committed myself to him. If that's you, just slip your hand up and say, hey, Dave, that's me. I would like to make that choice this morning. I'd like to make that call. If that's you, just give me a wave and say, Dave, that's me. And we'll just lead you in a prayer. We won't ask you to do anything other than this important decision that you're making. So just slip your hand up and say, that's me. Or maybe you've made a call like that once, but you know that this morning that you're not close to God. And maybe today is your day to make that fresh commitment. Say, I'm coming back and I want to live confidently and I want to accept everything that Jesus has done for me. If that's you, just slip your hand up. Say, that's me. I need to make that choice this morning. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. There's a couple of people making some choices here this morning. Let's pray. We're going to all pray together. There's a couple of people here praying this prayer. So let's pray. Let's stand with them because we're a family as they make an important decision. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that you love me. I thank you that I'm important and valued by you. Thank you for dying for me. Right now, I apologize for walking away from you. But right now, I turn around. And I choose to follow you. I open my heart and I ask you to come in and make me new. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name.